comes from Revelation chapter 13 today. The dragon stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. The beast I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like a bear's. His mouth was like a lion's mouth. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. They worshiped the dragon because he gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war against him?"
This morning at the Antichrist and the not just the Antichrist but the last world system since the Tower of Babel. And you may remember reading that in the Old Testament, there was a time after the flood, which was a great cataclysmic event in the history of the world, much like the coming judgment is going to be when God pours out his judgment upon the earth in this period that is called the Great Tribulation. Now, I know there are different opinions about this. Some believe that the Great Tribulation is already here. I mean, we're already experiencing tribulation in that, you know, with a small t. And some more than others, of course. We have much turmoil in the world today, much difficulty with, you know, the financial crisis that's upon us. And we're in a war. People would ask, well, can things really get worse? Well, yes, they are going to get worse, unfortunately. I wish I could be a prophet of all light and happiness. But there's going to come this night that will descend upon the earth called the Great Tribulation. And I want us to just think about what is going to happen when, if the Bible is true, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which tells us that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It tells us about a resurrection that will occur, the dead in Christ rising first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And I believe that that is the next event on the timetable of God, the prophetic timetable of God. I think that we're kind of mistaken if we think that, you know, there's a certain number of ticks in the clock that have to happen, a certain number of fulfilled prophecies that have to happen before that event occurs. Jesus said that we need to watch, didn't he? He said, watch and pray, because that time is going to come upon you unawares if you're not prepared for that great event, the rapture of the church. Now, if all of the believers in Jesus Christ are taken out of this world, you can just imagine if things are bad now, how much they're going to escalate and degenerate, really, during this awful period called the Great Tribulation. During the tribulation, however, there will be this dream, if you will. I think it's not really, it may seem to be a dream, this dream of having a world government, having a strong leader. People are looking for that leader today. But it'll become a reality. It'll really become more than a dream realized. It'll become a nightmare. And so what about this coming world power and its head? I want us to look this morning at this chapter 13 here. And I'm just going to kind of read parts of the verses. So I want to encourage you to have your Bibles open and kind of fill in the gaps there, because they're very important. Each word is the word of God. But it tells us here about how John said, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, and he had 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems. Those are crowns, of course. And on his heads were blasphemous names. The beast I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like a bear's, and his mouth was like a lion's mouth. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. One of his heads appeared to be fatally wounded, but his fatal wound was healed. The whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. They worshiped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war against him?" Well, here we have this description of this last world power. Now, most believe that this is what is being described here. Daniel spoke of this. If you'll understand the book of Revelation, you really need to understand the Old Testament scriptures, especially the book of Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 7, it gives a very important description from the standpoint of history, a description of world empires, beginning with the Babylonian Empire. And then after the Babylonian Empire, and there was an image or a beast, very similar to this, not exact. There were things that are left out. It doesn't contradict. But I think if you'll compare, you'll understand that what God is describing, what he was describing in the Old Testament, and what he is describing again here, is the four great world kingdoms, beginning with the Babylonian kingdom, and then the Greek, the Medo-Persian empire after the Babylonian, and then the Greek empire, and then the Roman empire. And really, we are still in that age of the Roman Empire. Now, I know the Roman Empire has been dissolved. Most believe, you know, that it could. Well, I'm not sure that people would believe now, but at one time, you talk about a Roman Empire being revived. People's eyes would become glazed over. They just look incredulous. I mean, it would just seemed unbelievable that it could happen. Well, here it describes this beast. And what do we know about him? Well, there's an appearance of the beast, very similar, again, to the description given in Daniel chapter 7 of the world empires. Now, God didn't give a roadmap. Some object to this idea of kind of a roadmap interpretation of prophecy. God didn't give a roadmap, but he did give very important indications of what this world is, how this world is going to progress, really a regress, because the last beast was really an amalgamation of governments. And you who have studied history know that the Roman Empire was really where we get most of our laws. Most of our governmental institutions are really borrowed from the Roman government. And of course, we've seen the United States of Europe begin to emerge again. I mean, it's just a matter of time that this is going to become a reality. And this is going to be the next world power, especially during the tribulation period. So there's the appearance of this beast, the semblance, like a leopard, it says. His feet were like a bear's, and his mouth was like a lion's mouth. The dragon gave him his power and throne and great authority. Now, the dragon, of course, is the devil. And one of his heads appeared to be fatally wounded, but his fatal wound was healed. Now, that seems to be, to me, a description of what obviously happened in the Roman Empire. There was what seemed to be the imminent death, the decline and fall of the empire. But now we see it beginning to emerge again. Now, we don't see it fully yet. And I believe that we won't see it fully. I think if we are looking for the Antichrist, and we are beginning to look at, you know, some of our leaders maybe, or some of the ones who would be leaders, or leaders on the world stage, and wondering, well, are they the Antichrist? Well, I don't think that we can know. I don't think it's going to become obvious until that very pivotal event occurs called the rapture of the church. But there's this description of this beast and having 10 diadems. There were 10 Roman empires. Well, I believe there were 9 Roman emperors. And the 10th, of course, would be this last world ruler that we would call the Antichrist. His influence, it says that, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war against him? So here we see the emergence of this great world empire. Now, again, I think if we're looking for it now, we can only look for trends in history. But I think if we will look back and study the Old Testament scriptures, we'll find that God is the sovereign Lord of history. God knows the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. I was reading recently in the book of Isaiah, and I'm sure many of you know that the name Cyrus was predicted some 200 years before Cyrus was even born. And so if God is able to do that, God knows what is coming in human history. That doesn't mean that God is party of the evil of human history, but God knows. And so that's very important to realize. There's a description here of this beast, or of this last world power. We're told about its deeds. It says they worshiped the dragon because he gave authority to the beast. Now, of course, the dragon, if you'll read back, you'll know is the devil himself. Now, it says that the world worshiped the devil. Now, you might think, well, that can never happen. Oh, really? Well, I think in some sense, the world is worshiping the devil today. And the devil has many names. The Bible says to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The devil is a deceiver. We read about him in here, the dragon. Well, who would worship a dragon? A dragon really is a symbol of China. I don't know everything, but I know that China figures into prophecy. It talks about the kings of the east coming across a highway. And so God has some wonderful things here. Not wonderful in the sense that we want to be here. I think that John was just so captivated by the images and what he saw, what he heard. He didn't really understand them even. But he had to communicate this to others because he said the time is at hand. The time when we need to prepare. That we need to prepare our own hearts. That we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And to be serving Him, and to be warning others to flee from the wrath to come by placing their faith in Jesus. That time has come. And so we're told about the deeds of this great world power. There's a worship compelled. Here it says, they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war against him? And so they began to worship this great world power. Now, if you'll remember from history, if you've studied ancient history and especially the history of the Bible, you'll know that there was emperor worship at the time that the New Testament was written. There was an emperor by the name of Nero who commanded people to worship him, and people would burn incense to him as a god. Many believed from New Testament times that this Antichrist would be either Nero or Nero come back to life, or one very much like Nero. So again, I think it behooves us to study history, to study God's movements in history so that we might know, and not just the time of Jesus coming, that we might be prepared and that we might be preparing others, because the Bible says the time is at hand. Worship compelled. There was war commenced. Now, apparently this will be a great superpower. Now, we think, you know, well, we're a superpower. Maybe it's us. I don't think so. I think John writes here from the perspective of one. Now, he was on the Isle of Patmos. Now, you'll remember that. And here it says that he stood or he saw this beast coming up out of the sea. Now, I'm not sure that John was really writing from the perspective of Patmos, but I think really, as a Jew, he was writing from the perspective of Palestine. I think that if you'll read this and know that this is really the focus of the Holy Land and Jerusalem, that area of the world, that will be where the last great wars will take place. So, the beast coming up out of the sea. I was in the Navy, as some of you know, and I was in the Mediterranean Sea, and we visited some of the ports of Italy. And what a beautiful nation that is. Well, it could be that since that was where Rome was situated, of course, and Italy being a peninsula, very serpentine in shape, that maybe this is where that last great world power is going to be. Again, it's going to be Europe. I don't think necessarily we have to say it's going to be Italy or that Rome is going to be revived, but it could happen. What we thought just a few years ago could not happen. Now it's reality. So things happen very rapidly in these days in which we live. But there'll be war commenced. There'll be words commanding that will, it says, on his heads there were blasphemies and boasts. Here is an entity that is arrogating to himself worship that only God deserves. And so there's a description here of this last world empire. There are the deeds. But there are also here that we're told about the deputy. And if we can look at chapter or verse 11, I know we're going very quickly here, but I want to encourage you to study the scriptures. I have a book. I'm not going to loan it to you because it's the only one I have, and we're not done yet. But you can get this probably at any bookseller. It's called Lectures on the Revelation. It's by H.A. Ironside, and it's very excellent. I would recommend it highly to you. He describes this deputy here, and I'm going to read just a little bit from what Ironside says about this deputy. He is a person. If we can look there at verse 11, John writes, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth." Now that word earth really translates, it translates a Greek word that's often used of the land of Palestine. So here, I believe he's describing a Jewish believer, not a believer, but a Jewish person, a Jewish leader, coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. Now, that should remind us of Christ, because he is described as the Lamb of God. So here he has two horns like a lamb, but he sounded like a dragon. Now, the dragon, of course, should remind us of the devil. He exercises all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and compels the earth and those who live on it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. He also performs great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth before people. He deceives those who live on the earth because of the signs that he is permitted to perform on behalf of the beast. So here we have the nature of this second beast. Now, I believe that the first beast is an entity and not a person, but certainly an entity that is empowered by Satan, who is a person, who commands worship. But there is another beast, John writes, who comes up out of the earth. Now, the sea, of course, is a symbolic in the scriptures for humanity. Certainly a description of a great world power. The earth would speak of a man. The Bible says, does it not, that we are made of the dust of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. Again, speaks of like a description similar to Christ. Here is, I believe, the Antichrist. Nostrum. Well, that's not nostril. Nostrum is actually a Greek word that means cures. Here's a kind of really a charlatan, like a quack. We used to have them back in Illinois. They'd come through town. This was back in the 20s. No, not the 20s, but Seems that long ago. I'm old, but not that old. 50s. Let's say the 50s. Starting about the 50s. And we used to have these salesmen that would come through town selling different cures, you know, kind of like Andy Griffith. Yeah, like a medicine man. You know, and usually it was like Geritol, 90% alcohol, or whatever it is. You know, that'll cure some things, but not what you need cured. It'll give you some other problems. But anyway, he had this miraculous ability. Again, does this not remind us of Jesus? Let's just read here what it says about him. That he performs great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven before earth, before people. That sounds like Elijah. He deceives those who live on the earth because of the signs that he is permitted to perform on behalf of the beast, telling those who live on the earth to make an image of the beast who had a sword and yet lived. He was permitted to give a spirit to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast could both speak and cause whoever would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that's describing here, but we have robots now that are just almost human. It's kind of scary. We have, of course, cloning. There are all kinds of things that come to our mind that make us wonder, well, what exactly is going to happen here? I don't understand exactly, but I know that this individual is going to be so admired, so worshipped, so he's going to be greeted as the Messiah, as the Jewish Messiah even, and especially the Jewish Messiah, because I believe he's going to be a Jewish person. There's a nature, there's a nostrum, there's a number, 666. Now, that is a toughie. Maybe some of you can shed light on that for me. I can only say that what John and others of that day, there was, as you know, great persecution of the Christians. And mostly Christianity was a Jewish sect. I'm sure you know that. And they wrote these things in cryptic code. They would describe an individual by a number. Many believe that this number 666 refers to Nero. Now, again, I don't know that Nero is going to come back to life. I know that in Jurassic Park they revived the dinosaurs. Now, that's a movie, of course. I don't know that that's possible. I think it's a matter of time that scientists are going to find DNA of an animal and perhaps clone it. Of an extinct animal. I'm sure you know that in the Arctic there have been woolly mammoths found that the Eskimos have actually eaten the flesh of. Now, these are animals that I believe died in the flood. What? How else could they? And they've been preserved in ice for thousands of years. It would be very easy, I think, for scientists to clone an animal like that. So I'm not sure what this all means. But I know that there's some things that are happening even today that are very disturbing and that are really leading us to believe that this is not as far-fetched as we think it may be. But here is an individual who is really the Antichrist, who is embraced as the Jewish Messiah. But he'll be like Judas. Jesus said that Judas was the son of perdition. And it talks about, the New Testament scriptures does, of the devil entering into Judas before he committed his act of betrayal of our Lord Jesus. I think there are even some who think that Judas may be the Antichrist, or one like him, certainly. Again, I don't think that we should over-speculate about these things, who the Antichrist is. With the presidential elections, you can't help but wonder sometimes. You know, have questions like that. Some of our leaders, some of our world leaders, people of, not good moral character, but people that are admired in the world today. I was reading in Ironside's book, he mentioned Napoleon as being maybe someone similar to who the Antichrist will be like. But I wanted to close with what Ironside says about the Antichrist, who he believes he will be. The name, or he describes who he thinks the Antichrist will be. He says, first of all, the Antichrist must be a Jew. Otherwise, he would not be owned by Israel as their Messiah. Second, he is to rise up in the land of Palestine, not in Italy, not in Jerusalem, or rather in Jerusalem, not in Rome. Third, he is to be subject to and in league with the civil power, not dominating it as, for example, the papacy did for centuries. He is to be acknowledged, fourth, by the mass of the Jews as their king and religious leader. And it is well known that the Jews have never owned the pretensions of another, a Messiah or a Messiah-like figure. Fifth, he is to be a patron, the patron of Israel. Well, here he says that they have never owned the pretensions of the Pope. Now, some believe that the Pope will be the Antichrist. Now, he doesn't believe that. He thinks that this will be a Jewish individual. Fifth, he is to be the patron of Israel, whereas the Romish Church has ever been their persecutor. Sixth, he is not to be manifested until after the hindering Holy Spirit shall be removed. And that will only be when he, that is the Holy Spirit, goes up with the church at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people, before the hour of judgment strikes for this godless world, where the Word of God, the Christ of God, the Spirit of God, and the Church of God have all been rejected. And so that's a pretty dark picture, but that's what's going to happen, I believe. And we need to be ready. We need to be prepared ere that night of darkness called the Great Tribulation descends upon the earth and catches us unawares. And I would urge you this morning, if you've not made your peace with God by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ into your own life, would you invite him in as your Savior? Make sure of your salvation, because again, you don't want to be here when this awful period called the Great Tribulation comes upon the earth.
In the presence of unfailing.